Gary Lineker, England legend, TV host, crisp icon, plus author. Gary's written and put his name to seemingly countless books, including The Weird and Wonderful World of Football, Gary's Golden Boots, and his 1992 soccer quiz book. And today we're reading one of these oddities, 1997's Gary Lineker's Favourite Football Stories. So let's see what the book club thought of it on today's Football Book Club.
I was reading it on the train from Euston to Stoke and I got so many looks.
The biggest and tallest women got destroyed by this little boy because he's a man.
Fair play, Gary Lineker. You can't choose a good football story, but you got a nice tap.
My first story for my section I dreamt about before I read it.
The Time Chris Kamara Kicks My Ghost Dogs by Dave Ward.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Wilbur Smith, more Walter Smith.
Why not?
It's an author.
That's another one.
It's a man related to football.
It's a football. Yeah. It's sort of. I think it's one of those ones though that if you didn't know Wilbur or Walter Smith, you'd be like, which one's the footballer, which one's the...
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, well, I guess that applies to anyone. If you didn't know
really,
Charles Dickens was, or Charles Nzogbia, I guess.
That's
which
true.
One wrote Great Expectations? Anyway, thank you, Danny Latkinson, for that one. I'm James Bug, and over the weeks, we'll be reading classics such as David Batty, the autobiography, and Ange Postecoglou's Changing the Game. I was really worried about saying Ange Postecoglou. I think I got it right.
Yeah, I think it sounded good.
Yeah.
Certainly. You sounded
Flowed
confident.
Nicely.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Ange Postecoglou. It sounded like an expletive.
Okay.
Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah.
Can I just say, David Batty, my autobiography.
The autobiography.
That is a waste. That is a waste.
I agree.
David Batty has a great name. Batty out of hell.
Ooh.
That's
it.
Anymore?
But today, we're not reading David Batty. We're reading Gary Lineker's 90s relic, Gary Lineker's favourite football stories. And joining me to read it are Jack Bernhardt.
Hi.
Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
And I feel like you guys have more fun saying hello than any other part of the podcast.
What does that say about the show?
And James Baldwin.
Hello. You three were in my dream last night.
Ooh.
What
a start. Okay. Tell me more.
Okay. So, James, it was you at first. Me and you lived together and I was moving out.
Okay.
I was packing my things and I said, do you know what I wish we'd done a bit more of? You know how you just get up and just walk into town and grab a coffee and have a mooch around? And I was sort of reflecting on that. I wish we'd done that more. And we hadn't done it. We just sat in. And you said, yeah, but that's the kind of thing that younger people do. I was like, yeah,
I said that.
Yeah.
I said the young thing is to walk into town. And we're too old for that.
When you're like a student, when you're a young guy, you're like, that's when you walk into town and have a mooch. And I was like, you know what?
This is a very bleak dream, can I say?
Wait, we're not in it yet, Jack. This could take a turn.
It gets much more bleak.
Worse?
Then you said your cousin was going to move in with you. And I was like, but we were living in Newcastle, by the way. I was like, but why don't you just move to London where everybody that you know is? And you were like, nah. I was like, why don't you move in with your girlfriend? And you were like, no, because every time we talk about that, we get into a blazing row. And then you said something that I won't repeat. Even though they were your words, I won't repeat what you said after that.
Sorry for saying it. It's such an in-depth dream.
Anyway, then suddenly the four of us were doing a recording outside in a dystopian wasteland. So we were doing another Michael Owen book.
That is dystopian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess if you could take anything from that, it's that, you know, when the apocalypse finally comes, we're still going to be reading mundane football books.
That's reassuring.
Yeah,
I'm terrified of the fact that Michael Owen is going to be releasing these books in the
My Wasteland Memories, book five.
Imagine how angry he'd be by then. I actually would quite like to read that.
Yeah, definitely. Wow.
I don't know the address of David Beckham's hovel in the ground. I've never been given it.
I wonder what book we'll have got to at that point. like, I don't know, like Steve McLaren or something. Like, what books will you be reading by that stage?
We'll be on to, like, I don't know, who's like a young player, but like Emil Smith Rowe's book or something.
Right, yeah.
Wow, depressing. Hey, look, this is really depressing to start the show, but let's turn it around in his head, because do you know what today is?
No.
It's a big day.
Is it?
Today, we're reading our 53rd ever book. That's right.
Wow.
Can I just say, James didn't add that effect in afterwards. He held his phone. He was like, guys, I've got the best effect possible. The thing you have to play.
Hang on. 53rd?
Yeah. 53rd. That's the thing. So I won't lie. We hit the 50 mark a few weeks ago. I forgot about it.
What?
Yeah, we hit the 50 mark a little while ago. I didn't notice. Then we were counter. I think, Jack, you mentioned when we were on like 42 or something. And then. Yeah.
And everyone ignored me as usual on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Like, oh, guys, did you know we're actually 50. 8 books away from the 50 mark?
I think we've got the stats on it.
Yeah. Well, not good enough. Not good enough because we forgot to do it.
Loud enough.
Okay, so that costs you two. But hey, 53 is the real milestone. I won't read the list of all of them. Just go back through the episodes. But 53 books.
What was 50th, by the way? Sorry.
50th book would have been, oh no, go back 3 episodes. Would it have been the one we did with Adam Hurry? What was that? Andy Gray's second book might have been that one.
I don't know. I feel like that's our level of research here.
It was Marcus Rashford, actually.
Oh, that's a nice what a lovely one. Book.
Well, 52. Yeah, Marcus Rashford was that one. Oh. It'd have been weird to make that the big 50th celebration. Okay. Hey, who cares about you writing a book? This is our 50th book we've done.
Yeah.
How do we all feel about that? Feeling good? From our wasteland?
I don't know. But I think between James's dream and that revelation that we've been doing this for 53 books, I feel very sad.
Well... And, you know, just to make you feel sadder, we're celebrating in style with this really weird book by Gary Lineker. Gary Lineker's Football Story. It's a collection of stories about football that, as far as I can tell, have literally no relevance to Gary Lineker whatsoever. We've done what we did with Lampard, but we've split the stories up between us. We've all read 4 of them each from this collection. I'm excited to hear what you all found from it. Let's get into it. Let's read Gary Lineker's favourite football stories.
I take it that means there's no Amazon reviews.
You say that. There are Amazon reviews, Jack.
Okay.
I actually have a real life review.
What? Yourself?
When this book arrived, my husband was like, oh my God, I had that book when I was a kid.
Right. Yeah.
And I used to read it all the time. It turned up in the post and he was like, what the fuck? Like, where did you get that from? It's unlocked something in my brain that I forgot was there. And he could remember all the stories. And he was like, yeah, but he now hates reading books and I blame this.
Gotcha.
He absolutely hates reading now.
Same.
Thanks a lot. Gary Lineker, Marcus Rashford wants to get kids reading. Gary Lineker, stop them reading.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So was this like Bart Simpson's Guide to Life, but for the generation before?
Well, we had someone contact us on Twitter and say the same thing. They saw the book and they were like, oh, I had that as a kid. So apparently it must have been fairly popular. Who knows why? It's only got 2 reviews on Amazon. It has 2 stars from
lowest ever, isn't it?
It might be, but I think we had no. Gary Lineker and Phil Neville have one star from one review.
Oh, that doesn't count.
That one, yeah. This had a 2-star review from Alan Kennedy, possibly the former Liverpool fullback. I don't know. It's not a serious review though. Don't get too excited. It's a funny review. I understand that Gary Lineker's book of ghost stories was a masterpiece of storytelling from the former England striker and a tough act to follow, I can't help but feel this does not compare. 2 stars for the effort, but ghost stories would always be the Gary Lineker book I'd recommend. Do you remember that joke, Father Ted?
I know what you're
going to say. There's a Christmas special of Father Ted where Father Dougal's reading Gary Lineker's ghost stories. I guess because everyone, back in the 90s, they were just as puzzled as to why Gary Lineker is releasing these books. Because I'm not convinced they are Gary Lineker's favourite football stories. Oh, I don't think he knows.
Gary Lineker has never read this book.
What an accusation, James! How dare you!
I don't think he likes any of them.
Gary Lineker spent...
And if he does, he's illiterate. If these are his favourite football stories, that man...
I disagree with you guys. I think Gary Lineker spent, like, I would say years, maybe six months to 2 years, trawling through every single football story ever heard.
Picking the creme de la creme.
And just went through and was like...
I was just really confused because I was expecting it to be, you know, factual stories of fun things that happen in football. I was kind of expecting...
Like Alan Hansen's book.
Exactly. I was expecting a bit of a long-form version of the Alan Hansen book. But it's not. This is like a primary school writing competition.
Exactly. They're like strange little short stories that... aren't interesting. I read the inlay of the book. It says, "Here is a fantastic." Is inlay the right word? I should know this, having read so many books. But
sound is it doesn't. You know, again, you said it very confidently, and we just bought it.
Yeah, just roll
inlay. Inlay? Oh, it's called the inlay now, guys. Next direct says 2.39p. I guess that means £2.39p. Here is a fantastic feast of reading to delight all football fans. A stunning collection.
Bizarre.
It's so strange.
It's written like a sort of a you know, like English translations of menus you get in France.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Like, hello, here, would you like some food? Here, the food's here now.
A stunning collection of action-packed stories chosen by Gary Lineker, one of the greatest soccer stars of all time. Read about, and then bullet points, the amazing boots that rewrote history, the five-a-side match with an astonishing ending, the ghostly trainer who gave one boy the chance of a lifetime, and much, much more. Here are all the dramas and the disasters, the penalties and the passion that make football the greatest game in the world. I just remembered, Jack, do you remember that guy? Sorry, I think I've told you guys this story, but when I was doing an interview about the podcast once, and the man kept describing football as the lovely game.
The lovely game. I like really the way it's all the dramas, disasters, the penalties, and the passion. Like, one of those things is different from the other four.
That's like, true.
What do you love about what do you love about football? I love the drama, the disasters, of course, the passion, and the penalties, of course, as well. Corners, my favorite bit of football.
The excitement, the jeopardy, the throw-ins. It's such a great book.
I'm slightly concerned now, though, because... we haven't quite gotten to the intro yet, but do you remember?
By Gary Lineker?
Yeah, but do you remember what the last line of the intro is? Because James, you might be about to be terrified. Never stop believing that your dreams can come true. Sometimes they do.
Oh, no.
Well, what is interesting is that my first story for my section, which we'll get to, I dreamt about before I read it. Like, almost.
Oh, my God.
So I'll tee it up and then I'll get to the story later. Like,
do you want me to play the fanfare again?
Yeah.
It sounds terrifying now, James.
It's super long.
It sounds like the clown from James's dreams coming to kill us all.
So a few days ago, I dreamt that I found four dogs and I just kept them. They were my dogs now. And then when I came to find them, they were gone, and someone had told me that they were dead. And I was like, what the hell's happened? And they went, oh, this guy's kicked them and killed them. And the guy who kicked my dogs was Cammy. Cammy had kicked my dogs. And I was trying to find out what the hell had happened, and I was like, okay. And then my dogs were alive. They were alive. These four dogs came back, they were alive. I was like, oh, they're alive. Well, what happened? You said someone kicked them. I went, yeah, Cammy kicked them. So I went up to Cammy, and I was like, did you kick my dogs? And he was like, well, yeah, just to like shut them up. That was my dream.
I'm Chris so Kamara. Intrigued as to what your story is going to be when we get to this section. Yeah.
The time Chris Kamara kicks my ghost dogs. By Dave Ward.
What is going Cammy's on going with around your kicking dreams?
Dogs. It's going to keep your eye
Are you sleeping all right?
I haven't been, actually. Sleeping terribly.
Oh, God.
Should we get to Gary Lineker's intro? After a revelation, first of all, when it describes who Gary Lineker is, apparently he devised the screenplay for All in the Game. That was something that really interested me. I don't know what that is, but Gary Lineker's a screenwriter, apparently.
Yeah, but also in the acknowledgements,
it says it in the intro. I'm not that tight. It says it here in the intro. It says, Who is Gary Lineker? Yeah, it says, who is Gary Lineker? He's one of the best known, most widely acclaimed footballers, blah, blah, blah. He's now a regular popular presenter on radio and television. He devised the screenplay for All in the Game.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, good.
Also, in the acknowledgements...
This isn't a Cammy dog situation.
Three of the stories are nicked from other books, so they couldn't even churn out enough terrible football stories to fill this book.
it reminds me of, I used to have a CD when I was younger that came in the, I don't know, it came in some newspaper. And it was a collection of sketches from BBC TV and radio shows. And it was just like, but they're totally out of context. They didn't make any sense. And I was listened to it all the time as a kid. I was like, I don't quite understand what this means. But like, but it was like, you know, it'd be like a scene from League of Gentlemen, and then it would be like Alan Partridge dancing around. Then it'd be a bit from 40 Towers, and they just flowed into each other. It really was really baffling, unless you knew them. And I guess maybe that's what they've done with this. They've just got authors who've written books, and they put in a little bit of their stories in. I don't know. I can't say. Anyway, all that Gary Lineker seems to have contributed to it. Is, Gary, if I'm wrong, and that's unfair, please feel free to say, but I think all he's done, I don't think he's even read it, is write this page on page zero. Hi there, football fans. Welcome to my collection of stunning soccer stories.
Already too big, can I just say?
yeah.
Stunning.
I hope you agree that it's an unputdownable selection of the greatest football tales ever told, or that any football fanatic could possibly need for hours and hours of action-packed reading fun. Here are stories of knife-edge matches lost and won, of moments of glory and despair, of friendships and rivalries on and off the pitch. In fact, all the drama and excitement of the world's best love sport. I hope you enjoy the book, but don't forget, never stop aiming for the top and never stop believing that dreams come true. Sometimes they do, as correct. Tash said. And then he signed it.
Hours and hours of action-packed reading fun.
I read this in 20 minutes in the bath. Back in the bath, by the way, guys. Back in the bath, reading the books.
To be honest, this book would send you to the bath, can I say? Well, you start reading this book at a desk and you're like, no, this is a bath book.
I was reading it on the train from Euston to Stoke and I got so many looks.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why they were all you? Like, I had that kip. I had that book when I was 8 years old.
Yeah. Just 4 year old guys giving you the nod.
From your, from your husband.
Yeah, he was like, oh my God, flashbacks.
I like to imagine the idea of your husband Tom just in the next room, just like with his hands on his head. Going,
yeah. Oh, oh my God, she's talking about that book again.
Yeah. Jack, should we kick off with you? You read the first segment. What stories did you read, and any highlights? I'm doubting it. But...
I read four stories. Four stories too many, I would argue.
Okay.
Kev's Boots, Charlotte's Wanderers, One Shirt Short of a Strip, and The Match, which was very unimaginatively named. I mean, I was quite a sickly child, or quite a hypochondriac child, and I would often go to like the sick bay at school.
Isn't that a restaurant where they pour sorry, sick bay. Hey, hang on.
Oh my god.
You're in charge of cutting things from this, so it's cool.
I tried to make a Salt Bay reference and then gave up when everyone stared at me.
I think this book has broken our brains.
James was like, oh wait, I think everyone's on a delay. Nope, we're not on a delay. We just did not find that book.
Yeah, I was really hoping that there was going to be an uproarious laughter at some point.
Everyone's frozen. Nope.
No, James.
Never mind. Crack on. Sorry, Jack.
But so there'd be these books from like the 70s, and they would be football books that were like, you know, Pat Jennings saving a goal against George Best. And it was basically how I learned about football. And this would have been in there. And I would have devoured this book. But it's just nonsense. It's just like, you spend the whole, you get to the end of each story and you go, what was that? Why?
Why did someone sit down and write this?
Yeah.
I think it's like a distinct lack of jeopardy in all the stories. Just like, okay, all right, that happened.
There we go. That's done. So I will say that of the four, the Match for me was probably the best one, but I don't want to talk about it too much.
Despite its bad title, you think that
the Match was, well, The Match is basically a story of like going to a game where you see like a generic northeastern team, the dystopian hellscape that James Balgin was describing. Like it's a match between, I can't remember what they're called, like County Robin. They all have names like Park End Rovers versus.
The names in these books.
Yeah. Oh so gosh. Good. Do you want to hear the name like, of the team from one of my books? Sefton Mallet.
Didn't Jamie Vardy play for them at one point?
Sefton Mallet.
Sefton Mallet. Good lord. Yeah. It sounds like a
kids TV entertainer
torture from World War II. Bring out the Sefton Mallet. But yeah, yeah. It's about like turnstiles. It's very much like back in the old days, Pie and Mash. We were going through the turnstiles. If it's a popular game, you couldn't get in. But if no one wants to see the Robins play this week, oh boy, there'd be programs everywhere. And like, there's like an old journalist who's like walking down the street and they're like, hey, Bill, what's the score? He's half cut again, isn't he? And he's like, oh, it's 4-1 to the other team. Oh, I hate it. I hate football. Boo. And then there's this amazing comeback, and then later on they see the newspaper and it says, oh, they lost 4-1, but they're like, actually they won 5-4, you drunk idiot.
This sounds anyway. Like every story in my book as well. Yeah. You sound out. They're all very kitchen sink is the
yeah.
word.
It felt very much like a sort of a parody of, it felt like someone from, I'll tell you exactly what it felt like. Someone from the South being given 2 hours to write a story about the North.
Yeah.
And having to sort of do these things where it's like, oh, I guess they all eat, whippets, don't they?
Yeah, they've all got orchestral somewhere.
Or flat caps on there. And they look forward to football every week because their lives are so meaningless otherwise.
I mean, I won't lie, given James's dreams from earlier, it sounds like everything is pretty bleak.
Hey, we were in James's dreams. James cares about us.
Yeah, we were the highlight of his bleak dreams from his northeastern existence.
But the one that I was... I'm obsessed by two of these books. One...
Stories.
One of them is Charlotte's Wanderers by John Goodwin, which is basically about a very creepy boy who falls in love with a girl who at one point decides that she's going to play football, and the main boy in this can't fathom this idea. it's like an alien, like the father of the girl, he's like, where's Charlotte gone? And the guy's like, oh, didn't you hear, she's playing football. And he's like, what, how, why does it work, they kick a ball, they're girls. And he cycles to go watch, and then midway through cycling to go and watch, he's like, no, that is such an outlandish story that it must have been...
He turns around
and doesn't go! Because he's like, no, it can't be true, and I will just be embarrassed.
He's had me on.
The concept. But eventually he finds out that she is playing football, and then he becomes creepily weird. Like, he really wants to, like, help her train, and like, it's all a bit gross. Like, she's sort of like, yeah, I like playing football. He's like, you're going to be the best football player in the world. Let's work on headers. Let's work on headers right now! And she's like, I just want to play football because it's fun. It's very sort of like, it's very much a book that is trying to be like, look, girls can play football too, but only succeed in being like, it's weird. It's weird if girls play football. that one ends, and I'm fascinated by how these books get made, but that one ends with a friendly match where they're playing against a team who are called the Giants. And he says, you can see why the team got their name. Two of them were the biggest and tallest girls I've ever seen. One must have been nearly as tall as Blackpool Tower, and the other, her twin, was even taller. She looked as tall as the Eiffel Tower.
Other towers, quick.
Another tower. Oh, God.
Beatty Tower.
Then he spends the whole rest of the story being like, Blackpool played it to Eiffel. Eiffel back to back. But it's cringe. It's just a bit cringe and weird.
Cringe is a good word for this book. But Gary Lineker loves it.
Apparently he loves it. He spent hours trawling through these hundreds
That's his particular favourite story.
Yeah, but this is the man who probably signed off Salt and Lineker, didn't he? So his bar for puns is not...
Salt and Lineker as a pun, as a marketing ploy, genius.
Yeah, you reckon?
Very hard to get vinegar to rhyme time with vinegar. To get a rhyme for that is pretty good.
I'm almost positive they picked Gary Lineker because his name sounds like vinegar.
Yep, I agree.
And then tried Gary to crawl by in Cheese and Owen later on. Remember that?
Yeah, we're not talking about Cheese and Owen. Cheese and Owens.
Actually, this is an idea someone suggested we do for our bonus chapter. I've totally just remembered that, to come up with other footballers we think would fit crisp names. So we'll do that later. We'll do that later.
Good plan.
But yeah,
I'm
subscribe, patreon.com/footballbookclub.
If there was a player called Freddie Malted, I legitimately believe Gary Lineker wouldn't have a career.
Freddie Maltese sounds like a ill dog. Oh, Freddie Maltese.
Freddie Maltese, one of the dogs that Chris Kamara kicked.
Grant Holt should have got a salt and vinegar range as well. They should have brought that out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Holt and Lineker, that would have been brilliant.
Save it for later.
Come on.
Sorry.
Anything else from your book, Jack?
Just very quickly, how it ends with this book. The Eiffel and Blackpool take out the entire team, basically. Yep. Like, at one point, they're like, the goalkeeper got scared of them, so she ran away, because that's what girls do. They run away from scary situations.
And Dash, then at the end, can you confirm?
Can confirm.
If you saw a tall woman, you would be terrified.
What's the tallest woman you've ever seen, Tash?
I have watched quite a bit of women's basketball, and they are quite scary, so I will give her that. Charlotte is not...
Wrong. She didn't run away.
Hey, Charlotte didn't run away. Her loser friends ran away. But at the very end, they have no players, and they're like, we're going to have to quit because we've got no players. And then guess who comes on the bloody pitch and decides to be like, I'll play instead, guys. I can do it. The boy, Charlotte's boyfriend, not really boyfriend, creepy stalker, I would say.
Yeah.
And he like has to play in goal because they're like, oh, it has to play in goal if it's going to be on the pitch, because that's how female football players see men as evil and blobs. Anyway, he is like, oh god, we're not going to win the game, I better get the ball and run up the pitch and score. So he starts doing that, and I was thinking at this point, this is going to be how the book ends, is he will score a goal and Charlotte will be like, oh my god, you're so amazing, what a great performance. Thankfully he gets tackled and one of the other players scores, and then Charlotte breaks up with him. That's genuinely the best bit of the book.
That's bleaker than James's dreams.
It had to be that bleak, because if it hadn't been that bleak, the story would have been
girls beat by single man.
Yeah, single man destroys women's football team. The biggest and tallest women got destroyed by this little boy because he's a man. It was dross.
Should we move on to Tash?
Oh, yes, please. I mean, to be honest, I'm not going to lie. These stories all have exactly the same plot line.
Yes.
But I will add in my two pence. I only had three books in my section. So I had Misfits by Gina Douthwaite. Google tells me she's actually now works for the Ministry of Agriculture, which is good news for us all.
What? That's a real...
Yeah.
They've done well for themselves.
I know.
On their CV, author...
You're Gary Lineker's favourite author?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, it says that all you did was write a book, it's one short story in 1997, and now you work for the Cabinet. Wow.
Yeah, amazing. And then I had one called The Bottom Line by David Harmer, and Simon Comes Home by a guy with a great name, Redvers Brandling. And do you remember the book Spilling the Beans on? They were like a knockoff of Horrible Histories, and you could get them like, I had the Spilling the Beans on Robin Hood.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that. That sounds exactly up my street, and I guess I've never heard of it.
I did think that, Jack, when I was... But anyway, this guy
did you
wrote
dream
all
this?
Of those
Did
books.
You dream this, Tash? This one of your dreams?
No, this is legit. But he wrote all of those, and unsurprisingly, his was my favourite book out of the three.
Good.
His was quite
was
good.
Wasn't his name Redvers Bradley?
Redvers Brandling.
Oh, didn't they play Spalding Mallet or whatever they called it?
But the story of all three of these books that I read was slightly misfit boy. Now, in each of the stories, their misfitness was either they were new to the area, they had ripped trackies, or they were ginger. And they wanted to join the star team. They can't for those reasons previously given. So they set up their own team. They miraculously turn out to bring this ragtag bunch together that are really good. They come this close to winning, but they never quite win. But they learn a lesson that you should really just try.
It's just not these things. You wouldn't get it.
All three of them have a freckled tomboy in the dream as well, which is nice.
A freckled tomboy.
All three of them.
Wow. But like in Stranger Things when they brought
exactly.
in the ginger girl in the second series.
Okay, interesting.
But the second one, which is the bottom line, that had a slight deviation on this story, because the protagonist, Tommy, is off school with a condition called viral globular raging red spots.
What are kids like? What are kids like?
He, I know. But I was trying to think, what condition would that be? Is that chicken pox, do you reckon? Viral globular raging red spots.
I think the viral globular raging red spots were another team. Yeah. They're just falling mad.
Anyway, when he comes back.
It sounds like bad acne, right?
Yeah, bad acne, maybe.
Yeah. But when he comes back, his team have all been nicked by this guy whose mum's got a sweet shop and he pays them wages every week in Pick-A-Mix. Yeah. Which I thought was quite a neat little twist. But he doesn't have any other friends that play football. But he has this one nerdy friend whose dad has all of the George Best VHSs. And he goes home and he reads, he watches them all. And he stands in his living room learning them like the ballet. And then he comes on the pitch and plays like George Best. I mean...
My books had a similar, I don't know if everyone else had that, but I had like strange dated references to footballers. Like one of my books, the kid loves Bobby Charlton so much, he pretends he's his uncle. And then a kid goes, he's not your uncle. He's like, I was lying, it's true. And then Bobby Charlton turns up and goes, hey, son, aren't you going to say hello for no reason? And he wins the respect of all his friends. It's bizarre. So this,
your book has magic Bobby Charlton in it.
Yeah. He was turning on some Christmas lights, and then he starts calling all the kids. He calls himself Uncle Bobby to all the kids. It's very creepy.
No, I
feel like Bobby Charlton and Chris Kamara have been badly represented in this podcast.
But the best thing about all three of these stories was obviously the names that everyone has. Like, one of the guys is called Ivor Bork. Ivor Bork? What the hell?
How are we spelling Bork?
B-O-R-K-E? B-O-R-K.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and so they all call funny. Him Borky Bork. Borky Bork.
Excuse me, my son is also named Bork.
Yeah.
It's true, they all do have like their names like Tomo and Jono and Bobo.
Yeah, or they have like I had Willy Wagstaff, Winston Worrell.
I think I've got the best name of all of them.
Oh, go on.
The kid who lies that Bobby Charlton is his uncle is called Norbert Light Owler. Not a heavy owler, he's a light owler, this guy, yeah. At the weekends I'm getting some light owling.
Not too much owling,
not too
please.
Much owling, I'm a light owler. Norbert Light Owler. Yeah, and Basher Briggs was another one who was a PE teacher.
The team names are pretty good as well. Like, I had Barry's Blades, the Savage Sharpshooters, the Dixon Dynamos. I thought they all sound a bit like, if you put "and" there in the middle, they'd make great band names. Like Savage and the Sharpshooters. Dixon and the Dynamos.
Yeah.
Barry they all sound Blades. A little bit like... I like it.
They all sound a little bit like teams in the Indian Premier League. Yeah. They've always got like... Yeah, they'll always look like the Calcutta... Crazy guys and stuff like that. That's very misrepresentative of it. But yeah, they've always got quite like baseball-y sounding names, the Indian Premier League teams, yeah.
I'm trying to imagine Jules Holland introducing Barry and the Blades. And I'm Barry and the Blades!
Barry and the Blades!
Barry!
That was a very good impression.
That was very good.
I don't know why, James, but your low effort impressions always end up being very good.
Yeah.
I'm trying really hard here.
Yeah. Yeah. What would it be like if Jules Holland introduced Alan Smith, James Malshan?
What? Is this a double impression? Alan Smith's going to start singing?
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah.
And up next... Alan Smith.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it.
How is everything I want? I did that.
Yeah, that's what Josh Barry says. He finds that he finds the hardest thing he finds about his impressions is not laughing the whole way through.
Yeah, imagine watching Alistair McGowan's big impression, just cracking up. This is brilliant. This is brilliant. Well, I think that wraps up the first half of the book. Would we say?
Yeah. Sure. That in-depth literary criticism.
As much as you guys need it, really.
Did anyone have an out of context just before we go to the break?
I have one.
Okay.
I don't really know if it's... It probably is an out of context, but it was just such a great line that I had to use it.
Please.
So, Less than a week before the local tournament, training had to start in earnest, and Ernest was to be their coach. Ernest Pickles, in fact, legendary player for the South Down Shooters.
Oh. What?
It's so like GCSE English,
oh,
isn't
that's
it?
That's
so
one of those nev. Ones where it's like, in fact, you'll find it was this, but yeah. the joke
Ernest
I'm making.
Ernest is also a name. Did you know that?
Oh. Ernest Heavy Owler.
I've got one. And she jumped higher in the air than any kangaroo or Man U player ever has. those two high jumping things.
That's amazing. James Belgian, do you have one?
This is quite a long one. You do know dogs are our best friends, don't you? So they deserve proper treatment too. This one's not my best friend, I can tell you, Steve replied sniffily. Couldn't be any man's best friend, in my view. He's lethal in the goal mouth. Wish some of our strikers were, Terry laughed, patting the animal fondly as he completed its treatment.
You say Steve, but horrible. Steve's Chris Kamara, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Poor Cammy, he's just announced his retirement.
I think that's why he was in my mind.
That's why he had the dream. Yeah, odd. Yeah, usually people are sympathetic towards people with their dreams.
Hey, I didn't kick the dogs, he did.
I've got one from my book. All this training and still Basher thinks I'm a king nerd. A king nerd.
King nerd, mate.
Yeah, I crowned the king nerd. Okay, time for a break. When we'll be back, we're reading more of Gary Lineker's favourite football stories.
Hi, we're Football Book Club Podcast. And we need your support now. Let's drop the appeal music. Hi everyone, James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hucks. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode.
Do you need more sketch comedy in your life?
This is a flesh-eating bacteria I stole from work.
Well, you stole that from the lab, did you, mate?
Yeah.
Then you need Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley.
When did you lose your virginity?
2nd of October 1993 on a pool table.
Each episode features brand new sketches, characters, and songs.
No time to die and no love to lose. Let the life I choose.
As well as returning regular features.
These are the diaries of Link Tangent, space cartographer.
I'm Sir Chantley Buffingham.
Hello, my name is Wingnut.
All written, performed, and produced by me, Tom Crowley.
He may look frightening, but he's innocent. He knows not what he does.
Over 8 hours of original sketch comedy. Available now on all good podcast apps and at CrowleyTime.com.
Have you ever had constipation?
No.
It can be a bit like that.
That's Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. Subscribe today.
Crowley Time!
Hello, welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are still reading Gary Lineker's favourite football stories on this, our 53rd book celebration spectacular.
It's the flutist who sounds like he's having an aneurysm at the end there, isn't it? That's what really makes it.
Flutist, the word is it? Flautist?
Flautist. How could I have ruined our 53rd anniversary in such a terrible
fashion?
We're
having such a great time. Jack comes in and gets...
Less flutist, more flautist.
Yeah, we're all trying to think of a flutist now, aren't we?
Yeah, flutist. We'll spend the rest of the episode doing that.
Alex John Baptiste was the closest I got, but I don't know. Is that his name? Blackpool? Anyway. So we're still reading Gary Lineker's terrible book. Well, it's not his book. I feel
it's uncomfortable to call it his book.
It is.
But I mean, if you're going to have a book where you haven't written any of the stories and you've definitely never read any of them, why put a big, massive picture of your face on the cover?
Yeah, if he's agreeing, if he's signing off to have his face on the front and to reap the benefits from this book, then he can take responsibility for all of them.
Yes, exactly. Very true.
Well, the other thing about it is that if you took the footballs out of this book, like it, I will show you what it looks like on our Twitter thing, I'm sure. But like, it looks like Gary Lineker, I think in 1997, I'm not sure how many kids would have been like, that's the footballer Gary Lineker. I think they've been like, that's the famous crisp magnate Gary Lineker. And He's wearing a horrible denim shirt with just a green thing, like a green background for no reason. There is no way to know that football is involved with this unless
you... I agreed.
And the back cover is the same photo.
It's the same photo.
But smaller.
With just his signature.
Yeah.
As if anyone's going to pick this up and be like, Gary Lineker's favourite football stories. Oh, well, I want to know more about this. Look at the back cover. Oh, he signed it. I'll definitely get it now.
He had a
lovely tan, though. Lovely tan. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. You got some quotes on there, review quotes. One from Tom. It's like, I don't remember this book. Where did you find this?
Yeah.
I'm Tash's husband.
My childhood. Why? Tom. Tom Frisco.
Yeah. Rubbish. Oh, really rubbish. Nice tan, though.
He does have a very nice tan. He's a very handsome chap, isn't he?
I agree. Yeah, so you know, we got to have some criticism and praise. You know, bring them up.
Yeah, give with one, take with the other.
Fair play, Gary Lineker. You can't choose a good football story, but you got a nice tan. My version, I've just noticed. Well, two things. First of all, the text looks like the Beano. It's very much that Beano font, and there's like a slight cut, like a bit of paper that's like come off, and it looks like Gary Lineker's crying on the front of the book. Like there's like a slight like scuff on the book. It looks like he's like, please don't tell people these are my favourite stories.
He's hearing us talk about this book, and he's like,
they should have put those two giant girls on the front of the book. the two towering ladies.
I mean, genuinely, it would have been really fun to have had a caricature. If we're redesigning this book front cover, to have a caricature version of Gary Lineker with like bits from these stories, it's chaos on the front, and he's like in a stadium, and yeah, you do have the two girls, or you have like
the light owl,
Blackpool Tower.
The Blackpool Tower. Yeah, everything.
Cammy in the background kicking a dart. Everything that sums it up. Do you want to hear my stories from the book?
Not really.
Yeah.
Just go home.
Yeah. No, come on. We're doing this on a bank holiday.
Have I got any twists? Not really. I do have one, actually, which is very different to this. I'll come to that. My stories were The Fib, Jake's Big Chance, So You Want to Be a Hero, and A Quick Game Before School. And my first line when I read my first story was, ooh, I wasn't half snug and warm in bed. And I was like, no, I'm out. My first bit I read.
It is written like the Beano, you're right.
It is, yeah. Ooh, it's wasn't half snug and warm.
Yeah. Oh, and the dad said, you get out of bed right now or I'll give you the slipper. Oh, crumbs, Dad.
Don't
give me the slipper.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I had, actually, the first story I had a lot of ooze in it. That was the Bobby Charlton one. And most of the stories, the gist was, boy is rubbish at football, very minor win, end of story.
Yeah.
That's largely what it is. It doesn't usually get that much better. It's usually just like, oh, you weren't totally shit in that game. So, yeah, you didn't totally embarrass the family name. Well done. Gary will enjoy that. My first story is the weird Bobby Charlton one. The second one was about some kid. My second one's weird. My second one's about a kid who's rubbish at football despite practicing all night until some weird figure turns up in the dark on this pitch he plays on. This mysterious figure who wants to teach him all about football. And it turns out is a ghost who's come back in the guise of a sex offender. I will tell you what. I looked at him. He had approached and was standing in the light. He was quite a small man and wore a sort of trench coat so long that I couldn't see his feet.
Oh, my God, he's a flasher. No.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, quite an old face. Nut brown and wrinkled with crinkle lines at the corners of his eyes, which are small, sharp and blue. What could this funny little old bloke know about football? Anyway, he like stalks him and keeps disappearing and then coming back. And
does
he
whip off the trench coat and he's got like a full kit under it?
I'm not interested. Yeah.
Oh, he's a full kit wanker. Yeah. No!
Is it even
full
worse?
Full kit wanker. Ugh.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
My third story is a really depressing story about a dad who hates his son. It's just rubbish. I'm not even going to talk about it. It's rubbish. The fourth one, though, I want to talk about is a complete handbrake turn. It's nothing like the others, and therefore it's by far the most interesting, despite being terrible, like truly terrible. It's called A Quick Game Before School, and I'll read you the intro to it. Because, like, bear in mind, we had all this, like, kitchen sink nonsense before, and then this comes out of the blue. Quick Game Before School, Dave Calder. When he woke up, he had an edgy headache. That's a weird headache.
What?
I agree. It was hot, and the pollution control unit was creaking as it struggled to filter the smog. At breakfast, the soya flakes had been a flavour he didn't like, and his younger sister kept kicking his legs under the table. So it was with a sense of relief that he escaped into the screen room, so much so that he simply sat staring for a few minutes at the blank, glassy video wall before clicking it on. Can you guess we're in the future?
The soya flakes.
Soya flakes.
Which is kind of accurate, actually. He's predicted it quite well. It's 97. It's not that
long. No, he hasn't. Don't give him credit.
I bottle soy flakes every morning and then go sit in my video room.
It's 1984. The guy's...
It absolutely is 1984. It's very 1984 light. And what follows was possibly the longest 15 pages of my life. as it doesn't tell a story. It's just... it reads like a nerd... reviewing a game that doesn't exist. Just basically talk. It's so boring. It's like tech specs, effectively. It's all things like the headset was flexible. It adjusted itself to the wearer so that its web of tiny sensors could control movements directly from brain impulses. So the micro speakers were positioned to give the best possible wraparound sound. Only the screen area was firm and stretched almost from ear to ear and from forehead to chin, but it was so light you were hardly aware of it. It does sound like trusted reviews,
yeah.
It does. It really does. Three stars. Sound quality, yeah. Not great.
I like how just above that, I'm just looking at the same page. And they've really laid it on thick. He tried to interest his granddad in wearing one, asked him how it compared to the real thing, but he'd been sniffy and said he couldn't take to these contraptions and preferred watching it as if it was the telly, whatever that had been.
Oh no! Yeah. In this dystopian future, they eat soya flakes and they don't know what the telly is.
It's like tech specs in a VR manual or something like that. It's like, do not sit too close to the screen for too long. Then after a while, there's nothing interesting. There's no story, really. There's just a kid trying to set up this game on his computer. It turns up into, like, beginning, you know, like the boring stuff when you turn on FIFA and you have to go through all the menus and stuff. It basically just describes that for a little bit. He would like to experiment a bit more during matches, but for some reason you're only allowed to change two players from each side during any one game.
You've created that demo.
Yeah,
he's got a FIFA demo.
By selecting player identity mode, Argon could virtually become any player, seeing from their viewpoint and making their movements for them. Press X to short pass, press square to... Yeah.
he's talking about the L1 button, really.
That's basically it. And then eventually his sister gets involved or something and it ruins the game. But
like all girls ruining sport.
Largely. But yeah, that's it. But Gary Lineker approved this. He read this story, put his name to it.
It's very weird that Gary Lineker would be like, well, let's make sure in this we have 11 of the exact same stories, but the last one of the final ones will be...
We need to future-proof this book.
But yeah.
Someone's reading this in the year 2022 for a podcast, maybe. It needs to relate to them a little bit. And I could relate to it. It was rubbish. Sadly, it really was so bad. Sadly, there was no sex offender ghost popped up during the end of that book. But yeah, there we go.
Yeah. He preferred the real sex offending ghosts, whatever they were.
James, we've already had a hint of what's to come in your book, your story, so I'm quite interested to see where this is going.
Yeah, it's the only one worth reading because the other ones were fucking terrible.
Gary Lineker's fucking terrible football story.
Football Friends was about people who had different cultures and then came together at the end. Terrible.
Yeah, we don't like different cultures, do we, James?
Yeah.
I'm not. Who cares what the other story is about? Let's read the dog one. So this story was called "Dog Bites Goalie." So an immediate spoiler there, which was a bit annoying. And so,
which I think has happened in every football autobiography we've read so far. It feels like a dog's involved in a goalkeeper. Yeah.
So Steve.
Oh, but this is different because it's fictional.
Steve is a goalkeeper.
This one's written by George R. R. Martin.
Steve is a goalkeeper who plays for Rooville, which
nice.
I guess is a bit like Whoville, but they've all got Rooney's face. Brilliant. Yeah.
That means
girls with blonde bunches and Rooney's face, and an old
that means
Grinch
road
with Rooney's that means, face.
That means road town in French.
Rooville.
Rooville. Yeah, it's road town.
This is a real sick bay moment, isn't it?
It's road town.
What, like R-double-O? Or like Rue Red.
Oh, is it R-O? Like Rooney? R-U-E.
Like Rooney.
Just like Hoover. Yeah, so basically what happens is a team's playing in a cup final, a dog runs on the pitch, the goalkeeper tries to shoo it away, it bites the keeper's hand, and then everyone's sympathising with the... Oh yeah, the most important bit. In a reaction to this bite, he kicks the dog in the belly and knocks it out. And then...
Knocks it out?
Yeah, what? It's like laying motionless on the ground. It even says comatose. Then the... so then the physio...
Gary!
Takes the dog to give it treatment. And everyone's giving the dog sympathy, and Steve's just not having it. He's like, the dog bloody bit me! And everyone's like, yeah, but you've almost killed it, mate. Like, you kicked it in the head. You might be dead. And then basically what happens is Steve is just like not having it. He's like, why are you giving the dog treatment and not me? My hands are in here. And they had to sub him off for the reserve keeper who wasn't very good. So they're like, we're going to lose the bloody cup final now because of this dog. Anyway, they won the final. So they were all saying the dog was a good luck charm. And then at the next game, the dog was there and the dog attacked the opposition's goalkeeper. And they managed to score an open goal because the keeper was distracted by the dog. And they won.
Oh my
God. So we're like, all hail the dog. And then Steve was like, yeah, fair enough. Dog's pretty good. That's the story.
From his prison cell, I hope. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous story.
Unbelievable, Jeff. I've kicked a dog. It's comatose, Jeff.
Yeah. We go to Rooville, where Chris Kamara's got an update. Rooville Park.
What happened, Chris? I didn't see it. Yes, you did. You were the one who kicked it.
It's just a dog lying down on the floor, and it's comatose. Okay, look. I feel bad for Steve. I obviously you shouldn't kick dogs, but
let's make that clear. That's a football book club.
That's a policy right here.
We all stand by that.
No Kurt Zuma's we, but. A dog biting you, that is pretty serious. A dog, like an actual dog biting you, enough to, I assume, draw blood.
One of my first memories.
What are these goalkeepers doing? Because why is he bitten both of them?
Yeah, the dog doesn't like goalkeepers. That's basically what happens.
Maybe it's the spirit of Michael Owen and
the gloves.
Maybe they're wearing like those kind of like birds of prey gloves. Yeah, dogs like attracted to
or like dog like training gloves that the police wear. Yeah. Yeah.
Dogs are like goalkeeper gloves made of like sausage meat.
Yeah.
Skin.
Guys, this is a terrible idea. I know we're sponsored by by the sausage company.
Richmond's. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my first memories, a dog bite me on the bum.
Really?
And it drew blood. My dad had to chase the guy down the beach to get his detail.
Wow.
That's a better story than all of these stories.
It was in Cornwall or something like
bottom
that?
By James Bug. Oh, I ain't half snug here in my beach.
Oh, dog don't bite me bum.
Oh, blimey, look at it's the journalist with it, the drunk journalist with his dog.
That guy's got trench coat down to legs.
Now, Sonny, you saw your flakes and
I
go into
like
the screen
if you
room.
If this book into one of those AI text things, this is exactly the story that would come
out. It'll come out exactly the same.
Exactly.
I should mention that at one point, Steve is advocating that the dog be put to sleep immediately. So.
What, like, to be kinder to the dog, or because the dog's a menace to society?
No, he calls it a killer.
I think Steve should be put to sleep immediately with anyone. So. This situation.
Maybe this is, like, Gary's early doors veganism campaign.
Or anti-veganism.
Well, like I don't know. The soy flakes.
It's like pro-animal cruelty, this book. Yeah. In the future, it was like, Gary originally wrote they were going to eat dog flakes.
let's ease it back, guys.
there's a bit here where the physio goes, anyway, perhaps it just didn't like pink gloves. Can't say I blame it. And then the next line of dialogue is just, what? That's it. Doesn't carry on from
that's the last line.
Is that because pink's for girls?
I guess.
Yeah, it seems so.
And we all know girls don't play football.
They can't. There's a bit,
unless
by the way,
they're really, really tall.
Let's know the size of Blackpool and Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
That's the moral of the story of this book.
There's also a bit in my book, I forgot, where they're talking about how girls can't head. And like he says, her head pulled back, poised to strike and missed. Yes, missed the ball completely. Stupid girl.
Was this book written by Richard Keys and Andy Gray, your story?
It does sound grim.
Wow. Well, there we go. So, moral of the story is, kick more dogs, don't let girls on the pitch.
Yeah, I just wonder, one thing I want to know about James's book, was the idea that Steve had like made the dog lucky by kicking it into a coma?
No, it's that they managed
that's
to win.
That's one interpretation.
Like, because he got subbed off for this reserve keeper, but then the reserve keeper did pretty well, they won the cup. So they were like, oh, the dog's a good luck charm. And then in the next game, the dog did the same thing, but to the opposition team and helped them win again.
I got to say, if I was at a match where my team was attacked by a dog and then the other team scored, and then the other team were like, good on you, Rover, for biting that goalkeeper's hand. I'll probably be like, we're going to call this game off, aren't we? Like, fundamentally, enough weird stuff has happened here.
Is it the same game? Or was it the next game,
it's the next
James,
game. It's the next game.
Okay, I was going to say, there's a miraculous recovery by the dog. No lessons whatsoever. I got kicked with an inch in my life. I'll go attack someone else. I'll go kill someone else. he is a stupid dog. Fair enough. Well, did this book change you? I feel like we should get your husband in, Tash, for this bit.
I can go and get him if you want. But yes, it did change him, because since I've known him, he's read one book, and that is our friend's book, because he thought it would be rude if he didn't. That is it. And I blame this very book here for the fact that he won't even read the one that I'm writing.
And what Tash doesn't mention there is that their friend is Alan Hansen, and the book he read was Alan Hansen's Strangest Football Injuries. Have you read my book yet? Get out of my swamp.
It's actually Joel Golvey's book. That's the only one he's ever read.
Oh my god.
Is it? Yeah. Wow.
Well, Gary Lineker.
I don't think we need Tom's opinion on this then. Okay, I think we go 10 out of 10, best book ever. You guys, what are we giving out of 10?
It almost defies rating. But
yep.
But actually, no, it doesn't defy a rating. 2.
Yeah. I was thinking 2. But just
it's
to be
bad.
Different.
It's really bad.
1. No, I'll give it 2. It is bad. It's just not fun.
The only positive it had was I literally read 50 pages in about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So for that, I will give it a 2.
I was saying this to Jet the other day. I can't say yeah anymore without thinking of Barry Fry in that Karen Brady book. Yeah. I went out on a night out the other week, and somewhere played Louis Louai, and just thought of Barry Fry doing that. Yeah. James Tash, what number are we giving it?
2.
2?
Yeah, 2.
1 for the tan and 1 for the shortness.
That's a blue line, isn't it? That's a blue lyric. 1 for the tan and the
shortness. I'm going to see Blue tonight.
Really?
They're playing at the food festival in Brighton. I'm very excited.
No, are they all still together? All 4?
It's only 2 of them, so blah.
which 2? I'm going to guess.
I don't know.
Anthony.
Have a guess, and I will let you know later if you're right.
Anthony and Simon is my guess. Simon. Although I can imagine Simon. Lee needs the money.
Yeah, Lee's definitely spunked all his money up the wall, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's. I think you're probably right. 2 plus 2. Did you give it a 2 as well, James?
Yep.
2. That's a nice easy sum. 2 is what it's got. cool. Well, that's what you know. That's probably right at the bottom, isn't it, I guess? Maybe of the books we've ever done. That might be the worst we've ever done.
It deserves it.
That's below Andy Gray's books. No quiz this week. However, we do have a Ken Zong for you. So,
We earn Ken Zongs without having to do the quiz.
You read the whole book. You read this book. you deserve a lot. We all know who Ken is. So Ken is our pal who comes on the show and he writes football chants about footballers who've long since retired. What have we had recently? I'm trying to think. Oh, we had Damian Delaney to the tune of Dude Looks Like a Lady last week. That was a good one. Then this week, we got a track about a Chelsea legend to the tune of a Mario Winans smooth R&B classic. What happened to Mario Winans? Was he a one-hit wonder?
He retired off his millions from that song.
Yeah, probably. If you're listening, Mario, let us know. Anyway, this is one of those tracks that go straight into the footballer. So it's not a slow build. One of the straight ones in. And so the tune of I Don't Want to Know, just in case you forgot his one-hit wonder. Tare Andre Flo If we're playing him, goals are gonna flow.
Ooh.
'Cause he'll drive them in from high and low.
Ooh.
He'll catch you sleeping, you already know. Oh, baby. Torre Andre Flo. Beautiful.
Oh, that was very good.
I don't know that song.
That was soulful. Very good.
What is that song?
You know
Who's that song?
Mary Wyans is One Hit Wonder, I think. It's about 2004, 5, I'd say.
No, we also had You Should Let Me Love You.
That was Mario. That was just Mario.
Oh, are they different?
Two different people.
Different guys.
Mario and Mario Wyans. Yeah.
Oh,
jeepers.
Yeah. Wow. Very different people. And then there's also that little Italian plumber guy.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Also a different person, Tash. Mario Winans' brother, Luigi.
Winans.
That's all for this week's episode. But we'll be back in a fortnight. If you can't wait 2 weeks, make sure you join the Football Book Club Club, where you receive 20 minutes more Football Book Club every other Monday, plus your own Football Book Club bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Please do sign up. In the meantime, make sure you get in touch with us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, or on Facebook. Send us your thoughts, your author footballer puns, chant ideas, or a moment in time if you've got one of them. Thanks for joining us for our 53rd book spectacular.
For God's sake. Yeah, I hear the flautist being like, oh God, oh God.
Oh God!
Here's to another 53, guys. Here's
and
to
then
another.
We stop.
Let me stop. Here's to that wasteland we're going
to
be in the future. Reading more books.
Soy flakes.
Any last words?
Unbelievable, Jeff! I've kicked a dog to death!
let's finish it there. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Balgian. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Gary for curating the book, I guess. But where are they all now? Well, Gary went on to become one of the country's leading broadcasters and has almost definitely still never read so much as a page of this book. Sefton Mallet folded in 2000 when they could no longer keep up with the sweet shop next door's wage bill. Game's gone. Norbert Lightowler grew up and changed his name at the absolute first opportunity he could. Eiffel and Blackpool Tower never stopped growing and now both stand at well over 25 foot tall. Mario Winans' follow-up single, Never Really Was, didn't make the UK charts. However, his brother Luigi went on to enjoy a very successful career, and despite James's disturbed dreams, Chris Kamara is actually, of course, still very much a lovely man who we all wish the absolute best. Bobby Charlton almost definitely doesn't call himself Uncle Bobby either. The music hills behind the work of Silent Partner and is using a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back in a fortnight reading Rob Lee's Come In Number 37 with the brilliant Johnny Sharples. Until then, bye-bye.